promised is faithful. And then our text this afternoon. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So far, God's word. Let's pray once again and ask him for a blessing on what we have just heard. Father, you know our hearts. You know the struggles that are in our hearts. You know the words that we need to hear right now this afternoon. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and work in us anew and afresh this afternoon. Open our hearts to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the buzzwords of society today is the word trigger. We speak about triggers, and there are many triggers that people have. For me, a trigger is if you mention Colin Hawke. The name Colin Hawke may not mean much to you, but Colin Hawke was the referee of the 1995 NPC final between Otago and Auckland. There are about 2 minutes to go, and one of my daughters is rolling her eyes as I speak. That's the problem of being in a small group this afternoon. There's a couple of minutes to go, and there is a scrum parked out on the try line. Otago's defending. The ball comes out, and the general Stewie Forster grabs the ball, and the referee blows a penalty and awards a penalty try. We were robbed. And I read a number of years ago in the paper that the referee actually agreed. Now, I can walk you through more of that, but I won't this afternoon. There are things that we have that trigger memories in us, isn't there? How did you feel when you heard our Prime Minister a couple of weeks ago announce that we were going into lockdown 2.0? Did you feel anxiety as those memories were triggered again of lockdown previously the year before? The struggles that you had with online learning or online work, or the feelings of loneliness that you may have had. Or maybe you thought and you were triggered in a positive way. We get to do church in our jammies again. No more playing taxi. We get to spend time together again as a family. In what way were you triggered when you heard our Prime Minister's announcement? You see, the thing with triggers is they bring some sort of response. They provoke a response. For many in our country, in lockdown, it was a negative trigger. It led to an emotional response and also a physical response, as yet again, toilet paper became scarce in our supermarkets. People had flour and all sorts of supplies were in short supply. Some people, though, were rejoicing. We get to spend time together again. And our passage this afternoon is also designed to trigger us. A good trigger, a positive trigger on the basis of good news. The author has been speaking, as he has in all of the book of Hebrews, about Jesus Christ. And he begins by speaking about the confidence we have. There in Hebrews 10, verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that is opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, we have a great high priest over the house of God. This is the good news that you need to hear, says the author. And there is a response that he expects us to have. In the Bible, there's often a triad of ideas. Three words that go together. Can anyone this afternoon, I couldn't do this for the past couple of weeks, can anyone this afternoon tell me what are those three words that go together? First one starts with F. Faith. So that's the triad. Faith, hope, and love. Just about a unanimous response if you're following us on live stream this afternoon. And that's what we have here in our passage. Verse 22, faith. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. That's the one response we're supposed to have, one of the responses in regard to Christ entering the holy place. The second is hope in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then the third response is love. And it is love that we're going to look at this afternoon. This afternoon, our theme is that we are to stir up one another to love and good deeds. To stir up one another to love and good deeds. And the idea of stirring one another is literally, we could say, trigger one another to love and good deeds. Provoke one another. Now, we think of the idea of provoking as a negative thing. Two young children sitting next to each other on the pew, poking each other, provoking each other for a response. But our passage here is wanting to provoke a positive response. If you have the NIV version, you'll have spur one another up. Verse 24, consider how to spur one another up towards love and good works or good deeds. We're going to use the word that our ESV uses here this afternoon, stir up one another. So let's look at this command this afternoon, and our first point is stir up to do good. Stir up to do good. Verse 24 begins and says, let us consider. Can you remember when you first fell in love? Some of you are waiting still for that time, a few head shakes in the back there. But that first time you fell in love. And what you did when you met this person is you studied them, didn't you? You wanted to see what made them tick, what they liked, what they didn't like, how you could impress them. And you would spend some time in your days planning out, how can I surprise them? What wonderful thing can we do? How can I organize a picnic or something like that to surprise them and spend more time together with this person? What would be the thing that would just make their day wonderful? That's the kind of idea that our author has here in this passage. Think about it, meditate it, enjoy the process of thinking about this command he gives. What does it mean practically? What does it mean practically for us this afternoon? Well, it means us thinking about, considering, spending time studying, what are the ways we can encourage each other, that we can stir each other up to show love to each other. How can we do what we are called to do here, to stir up one another, to provoke one another to love and good works? Now, the first way is by telling other people what to do. That's a possible application of our passage here. Going, telling people to do, in some ways, what I'm doing here this afternoon. Encouraging people to go and encourage other people. Going, talking to them. Say, hey, go and help someone out. Have you thought about praying for so-and-so? Have you thought about how you can encourage someone? And there are many things and many shortfalls that we can see as we look at ourselves, and especially as we look at others. I want you to stop and think for a moment, whether you're here or you're at home. I am sure if you thought about it, if you think about our fellowship here in Rangiora, you could come up with a list of what people are not doing here in our fellowship. You could think up a list of names of people who you think aren't doing or pulling their weight as they should. Is our author here saying that you should go and poke them, provoke them, and tell them you should be doing better? I'm going to argue this afternoon, no. I think that will be discouraging. You see, our passage can be also read in another way. Another way to stir up, to provoke people to do love and good deeds is to do them yourself. Going and loving someone, praying for them, thinking about them, considering, spending time, thinking about how you can serve others in the church. and then going out and doing it. Rather than saying, no one ever invites me round to their home, invite other people to your house. Rather than saying, no one ever provides me with a meal, going out and providing others. And do you know what will happen as you do that? People will see your example and they will follow your example. No one ever talks to me after the service. Go and talk to someone else. That's stirring up each other to do good, stirring up each other to love each other. As we do that, people will see our example. Someone told me the story the other day that happened about what happened here in Rangiora on High Street, just down the road from where we are. Someone got their car stuck in the intersection there between on Ivory Road and High Street. And they were out of the car trying to push the car through the intersection. And what happened is that someone else saw this person, they stopped there, they got out of their car and helped push, and then someone else saw as well. Why did they do this? Because they saw someone in trouble and they didn't instruct others. They got out and helped them themselves. And that example encouraged others to come and help. Brothers and sisters, as we show love, as we encourage each other, we stir up others to do the same. We're called to lead by example, to think about, to meditate, to enjoy the process of thinking how we can love others and encourage them to do the same. Stir up to do good, but secondly, stir up by getting together. Now, if you're listening this afternoon on via live stream, I want you to listen to me very carefully this afternoon. I didn't choose this passage to try and poke the finger at anyone who's not attending worship here this afternoon. In the Lord's providence, when I chose this passage, I did not know what kind of situation we were going to be in. So I don't want you to think this afternoon that this is a direct criticism for you not attending worship. That is not my intent. And as a session, we've been very, very clear. We understand if you're not attending worship at this time. We understand the difficulties at this time. So hopefully you've got me there. But let's look at what the command we have here in verse 25. Not neglecting to meet each other. First of all, as we look at this command, not neglecting to meet each other, to meet together, we need to think about what it meant to our original readers. They were facing persecution. And all the way we can think about it in our modern situation is many churches in China, where that people are rounded up as they go to church. House churches are broken into and people are taken away to jail. People are watched and stopped as they leave their houses and arrested. And that's a similar sort of situation that the Hebrews found themselves in. And we can understand then why for them it was easier not to come together in worship, not to gather together in fellowship as God's people. But what about us? I think I'm pretty safe ground this afternoon in suggesting that persecution is not stopping us from coming together in worship here in this country. But there are other things that do stop us from coming together in worship, that make us neglect the gathering of the elect. We can all have valid reasons. But maybe you don't come to worship because someone has criticized you, hurt your feelings, refused to do things your way, or maybe it's just too much effort. Maybe you can't be bothered, let's be honest. Maybe it's not important. Maybe it's not a priority. But here is something that I want you to consider this afternoon. When you remove yourself from fellowship, when you make it a habit of removing yourself from gathering together with God's people, it's not simply you that is involved in your decision not to gather together with God's people, be it worship, be it Bible study, be it any of our fellowship activities as a church. When you remove yourself from the body of Jesus Christ, from gathering together, you are removing an opportunity for others to be encouraged by you. For others to be encouraged as you sing together with them. For others to receive the blessing of you ministering to them. Of stirring up others toward love and good deeds. So through our passage, because of our passage this afternoon, can I plead with you, don't neglect the gathering of the elect. As things open up, and they will, please consider making every opportunity to join with God's people. Be it in worship. Be it in fellowship groups. Being it together in each other's homes as we encourage each other and build each other up. We have a number of fellowship groups here in our church in Rangiora. We have so much opportunity to have more. As your pastor, I would love to see us have our groups so full that we need to break up into more groups. Don't remove the blessing that you can give to others. Don't neglect, don't miss opportunities to stir one another up towards love and good deeds, to encourage each other. There is a need for us as the body of Christ to fellowship, to bless each other. There are valid reasons when we can't do that. But there's also an urgency that we see in our passage here this afternoon, and that brings us to our third and final point. Be urgent in your stirring. Be urgent in your stirring. Verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. It's the same word that we used last week, that word encouraging one another. That Greek word parakaleo. Para meaning coming alongside, kaleo meaning calling out, encouraging, spurring on. And I won't preach again in last week's sermon. But here, as we're called to encourage, to get alongside each other, to get down, as I said last week, in the hole with each other, to encourage, to challenge each other, there's also an urgency. And that's there at the end of verse 25. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, in my Bible, the word day has a capital D. Does it have that in your Bibles? Capital D? Yep, it does. Thumbs up. It does. And so this is referring to a special day. It's there in capitals for a reason. And that day that's being referred to is the day of judgment. The day that Jesus returns. The day that our author says is drawing near. Now, we don't know exactly when that day is, but what we do know and what the author is reminding us is that the meter is running out. And as the day is drawing near, as the day of judgment is drawing near, we are to encourage each other. We live in a world that is more and more hostile to Christianity. That in itself is a sign that that day is drawing near. We need each other through these times. We need each other. Even more, as things get tougher for us as Christians, as a church. But also, in those tough times, the fact that the day is drawing near is an encouragement that we can give to each other. That we can hold up the hope, and there's that word hope again, the hope that we have, the sure hope that Jesus is returning. That we can encourage each other as we come alongside each other and tell each other, keep going. It will be worth it. Remember how it ends. Remember where we're going. Remember that we are saved, that you are saved in Jesus Christ. Our Lord is returning. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We have the confidence because Jesus Christ has entered the holy place. Let that trigger us. Let that stir us. Let us spur each other on with that hope that we have. Remind each other that that day, capital D, is not going to be a terrible day. It's going to be a wonderful day as we are declared righteous, as we experience the full blessing, as our sanctification is complete, as we stand in glory before our Lord, in front of all of God's people, together with all of God's people from all nations. when the battle will be over. That is the hope that we are to hold out to each other, brothers and sisters, friends. Are you looking forward to that day? Are you looking forward to the day, capital D? Then encourage each other with that hope. The hope that we have, the faith that we have because of our great high priest. Can anyone tell me what was the significance of September the 1st? There are all these days for certain events, to certain things. What was September the 1st? This is putting it out there.
Spring?
Sorry? Spring? Yes, it was spring. Random Acts of Kindness Day. September the 1st was Random Acts of Kindness Day. Did anyone know that? I didn't know that. I saw it in the paper. Here are a list of 10 activities that stuff encouraged people to think of as a result of Random Acts of Kindness Day. Hold the door open for someone. Pay for someone else's morning coffee. Do some baking and drop it to the neighbour's house. Pay for a stranger's parking. Take an extra minute of your day to chat to someone who needs it. Send flowers to someone you love. Give up your seat on busy public transport. Donate groceries and clothes to charity. Offer to help someone who needs it. And then my favourite one, the end number 10, is simply this. Smile. I like the idea of random acts of kindness, but brothers and sisters, as people of God who have the confidence of Jesus Christ, we don't need to wait to one day in the year to show kindness, to encourage each other. And those acts certainly don't need to be random. Because of Jesus Christ, we have the greatest encouragement that we can offer people. We have faith, we have hope, and we most certainly have love. So the question I want to leave you with this afternoon is simply this. How are you going to stir up your brothers and sisters in Christ? How are you going to provoke them? Let's pray and ask God's help for us as we consider, as we explore that question in our minds and hearts in this week to come. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you first of all for Jesus Christ, who is our hope, who is our anchor, who is the greatest, best high priest, who has opened up the way for us through the curtain. Lord, help us never, ever to take that for granted. Because of Jesus Christ, we ask you this afternoon to consider it a challenge, to consider it an adventure, to think about how to be creative of ways that we can encourage and love each other, and help us, Lord, as we hear this message, to lead from the front, to go out and encourage, to go out and help out. Lord, we are only limited by our imagination, the wonderful imagination that you have given us. So help us this afternoon to rise to the challenge of our text, to stir up one another. Give us a heart that longs to be in fellowship with each other, Lord, to encourage, to come alongside each other, to reach out and show hope and point each other to the wonderful hope that we have. Stir us up, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing now the words of number 479. Number 479, Fill Though My Life, as it asks us to fill up our lives with praise as the song, as we sing, and think about how we can encourage each other, pointing each other to Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing 479.
God, in every part with praise.